Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Marek Makes a Movie, the podcast where I'll be speaking to filmmakers and people involved in the industry to find out how they made their films. And then I'll be using donations from you, the very generous listeners, to make my own film. Currently, I am on £495. Thank you very much to anyone who's donated. It is much appreciated. I've spent about half of it on badges, some music that was rubbish, a prosthetic finger that is being made, and a special tripod for the camera as a prop for the film. I've still got about half the budget left. So if you want to find out how that's all going, go to meritlarwood.com/Merit Makes a Movie, and there's a blog there about what I'm doing and how I'm spending the money. Anyway, this week I spoke to Simon Fielder about short films, but before that I must apologise for the delay in these podcasts. It's because I've been working, and I was working on a job called The Reluctant Landlord, where I spoke to the lovely sound men and they gave me some sound tips which I wrote down to tell you. I then very cleverly lost a piece of paper. I can only remember about three of them. So here are their tips for good sound. First of all, what makes good sound? Well, it's the small things like the extra details in sound. Not necessarily the dialogue, but the background sound, glasses clinking, things happening on screen being covered in the sound. That makes it sound good. Second tip was interruptions. When you're doing a narrative piece, when people talk over each other, yeah, it's impossible to edit afterwards. So always leave a pause. And remember, what you record on the day cannot be undone. So please pay attention to sound. I mean, I'm doing a massive disservice because I didn't remember any of it. So apologies to them. Anyway, here is Simon Fielder. Please listen and enjoy. It's Marek Makes a Movie. What's it about? I'll tell you. Talking to filmmakers about stuff. Editing, camera work, directing, acting, all sorts. Mainly bullshit. Well, here we are for another episode of Marek Makes a Movie. And we've already recorded this episode once, but I record it outside on a windy day. Literally a beginner's error. So I've forced Simon to come back again. Yes, it is Simon Fielder, a old friend of mine, very old, tired.
Feeling very all right today, actually, but thanks. You'll wear me down, I'm sure.
An old friend of mine. And what's he doing on this film podcast? Well, I tell you what he's done. He has taken his own hard-earned money and made a short film. What an absolute waste of time.
Thank you. Thanks for having me back as well. Really excited to come around again. Cheers. Bye.
So, Simon, so you, this is about making a short film. So, you just, at what point did you decide, oh, right, I fancy dipping my toe into the filmmaker's pond. I don't want to go in that feature film thing because, I mean, you'd be mad doing that with your first film.
You'd be an absolute crazed lunatic egomaniac, I would have thought.
I'm going to make a short film. Because you also made lots of YouTube films. Mm. And Simon, and may I say, with the listener, that your YouTube channel is very good. It's called, just look up Simon Fielder.
Yeah.
F-E-I-L-D-E-R. And then look up YouTube and you can see all the things Simon has made. He made a lot of films, not enough subscribers, really.
Thank you. True story, yeah.
So also subscribe to him. But anyway, so what point did you think I'm going to do all this business?
At some point last year, I suspect. Well, I have made things on YouTube, like you say. The majority of which has been sort of vloggy stuff. And then occasionally little narrative-y bits, but they're still filmed by me on my own, just me. Oh god, I'm so alone, it's just me all the time. And then occasionally, you know, I've done sketch stuff with Si Thomas in the past, and we've made little bits and pieces. As you know, we made stuff last year that you helped us film.
Yes.
And so I think it's always just nice to get more people involved in stuff. And just having written a few more things, I thought it would be nice to try and do something on a slightly larger scale.
So did you put money aside for it? Do you think I'm going to budget this and then try and make everything fit within that budget? Or do you think I'm just going to see what happens with the money?
Essentially, I sort of wrote it. I had a conversation with someone one evening about this type of thing, about how we were both like, you know, approaching middle age, but we are still quite youthful and we really liked hip hop and that sort of thing. And we were just sort of chatting about, oh, that'd be quite a funny idea for a thing. And then in a rare moment of carpe dieming, mm-hmm, on my part, I went home and I just sat down and just wrote it for a few hours, wrote the first draft of it. And the guy who I'd been chatting to was a director, but he couldn't do it. And so I sent it to someone else. And who was Ben Malaby, who was a comedy director, and I guess it just sort of resonated with him, I think, because he had recently had kids and, you know, was, I guess, experiencing some similar thoughts, or for whatever reason he liked it.
Resonate. I just want to say resonate again.
Yeah, just say it on its own, then you can put an echo on it.
We're not going to do that.
Fair enough.
Resonate.
And so, yeah, so there was no real thought about budget or anything at the beginning. It was just I'd written a thing and I thought this would be fun to try and make, but I can't do it on my own. I would like to have people who have more experience and, you know, access to equipment and that kind of thing. And then so when Ben said he was interested, that's when it started moving forwards and he, you know, did notes and had suggestions and things that would ultimately affect things like the budget. Like the original ending of it was sort of slightly different and would have taken more time and money and people and locations, so he sort of suggested maybe doing a different thing, and so I wrote that. And then
so it's pretty much a two location thing, isn't it, about a man who's left his job to become a rap artist.
Correct.
And you shot it over 2 days, I presume.
Yes, we had a day filming the end scene, which was at the Good Ship in Kilburn, RIP.
If you want to watch the film,
yeah, you can.
You
watch
might
it.
As well go. I mean, you're probably thinking, well, we're talking about this bloody film. Well, no idea what it is. Just look up.
I need context.
Look up Renaissance.
Yeah,
and it's on your YouTube channel.
It is. Yeah, it's also on Ben's Vimeo. If you want to be a bit posher about it,
I hate that Vimeo stuff.
Okay,
YouTube is sort of supposed to be stuff for rubbish stuff. Vimeo's where all the poncy filmmakers put their stuff on.
That's pretty much it,
because they've graded it and no one ever goes on Vimeo.
Yeah. Except a lot of people do go on Vimeo. I think the people that are making really high quality content are
arseholes.
Logan Paul and that.
Maybe Vimeo were thinking about sponsoring this and then they
I don't think so based on that. But You know, you can look it up on Ben Malaby's Vimeo, where you can also see lots of other great comedy shorts he's made. Or you can watch it on my YouTube and see lots of other, you know, varying quality things that I've made.
So how much did the whole thing cost then?
Well, I'm not 100% sure. Basically, Ben teaches at a university filmmaking, and so he gets his students to come and work on projects with him, presumably for
better marks,
credit,
better marks,
or cheat codes.
So do you think he is legally forcing these students to do his work, and saying, right, if you want to get a pass on this, or a 2-1, you want to come along to make my saucy film?
Simon Fielder. We did film a lot of sex stuff that didn't make it in, but he said he would put that somewhere else.
Actually, the only time I've worked, with Ben Malaby, he made me have sex with an old lady.
Did he?
Well, not, I didn't, I was had to do a sex scene with an old lady.
Sounds on brand. Yeah.
Not on brand.
We're clearly both talking about the same guy.
Oh, him, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Dirty bastard.
So, so obviously, like, he has loads of people who want to get loads of experience, and it turns out that, you know, someone who's done a film course for like a year or two is so much more experienced at operating a professional grade camera than like I am or whatever. So,
and what they shoot on, FS7s?
I think so, yes. A Sony FS7.
That seems to be a thing, that when cameramen buy cameras, is a good sign that they're good cameras.
Right.
I used to be, this is for real camera geeks, when everyone started making films, everyone sort of, they realised the Canon 5D and the Canon 7D, which were primarily stills cameras, made great video. So then that's when all these sort of indie films started making cheaper films. And then the next big breakthrough, I think, was probably the C300, which is a small sort of fat Canon camera. And everyone in the industry was making lower budget stuff. So it would be like Alexas at the top, and then C300s, and then 5Ds. And now everyone seems to have switched to Sony cameras, which are the A7S II, which you can almost see in the dark, or for that's a stills camera, or for film cameras, the FS7 is a very popular camera.
I have seen it about a bit, and I don't know anything about it, but every time I see one, I think, well, somebody clearly knows what they're doing.
I think 'cause it does everything, and it's I've got a Panasonic GH5, which I hope to be filming on, which is more of a sort of a stills camera, but actually shoots. I want something small that you can, you know.
Yeah, I suppose that is like the difference between like pro-am and full pro.
Yeah.
Full pro is probably the FS7. Like,
that's I think on the jobs that I've done, the studio jobs.
Yeah, yeah.
It's always pretty much Alexas or Amiras, which is the one down for Alexa, or Mini Alexa.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you've got more corporate stuff, or even fit or sort of short films, the Sony FS7 does it all, because it does slow motion.
Yeah.
And people love, especially you want a camera that can do all these things, so you can film some crappy business video and do some slow-mo on it, and then do some other stuff. You know it's not going to break down. Anyway, sorry, I just went on a bit of camera geekery there.
Camera nerds.
Lost a few listeners.
No, it's fine. That's why they tune in, isn't it? They want to make a movie.
Well, not many people do.
Well, hopefully there'll be more.
Oh, thanks, mate. Anyway, so you've got these people in.
So he brought in the crew, which was basically a DOP who shot it, a sound guy, and then I think on the first day when we were shooting the live stuff, there was someone who was sort of being a runner / grip / you know, all hands on deck. And then on the second day, it was just DOP cameraman and sound guy. That's two people.
So very small skeleton crew here.
Very tiny, like the smallest amount of people you could have on to make something sort of semi-professional.
So you made a thing, cost you about a grand?
No, I wouldn't say so, no, because...
Oh, really?
There was no cost involved in that. The only thing we paid for was we rented the location, which we used for the kitchen and the sort of other room, which was an Airbnb, so we basically rented that for like one night. So that was maybe under £100.
Airbnb is the way forward for locations, isn't it?
Seemingly, yeah. They were very accommodating because we were like, we don't need to stay the night, but we just would like to use it in the day. And they were cool. It was like,
Someone was saying to me, they approached an Airbnb. What was it for? I think it was a short I was in. So they wanted to film something. And the Airbnb were really worried they were filming basically porn.
Right.
In their in their house.
Yeah.
But it would be. They weren't.
Imagine if you watched some porn. Like if you neither of us watch porn.
I don't know what this. I don't. It's not one of these podcasts.
Yeah. But imagine if you were like really into it, and then suddenly it just cut to like your spare bedroom that you'd rented out to like a German exchange student, and you're like, oh, that guy's got the same clock as me on the wall. Oh no, that's when I was on holiday in Greece. Oh god, and he hadn't even put it face down because you'd asked him to leave it face up.
Well, oh really? The picture of you, picture of you in the background.
Imagine if that happened, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, picture of you getting spunked on in the background by Gunter.
So that was the only expense, and then I spent money making a banner, like a prop. And then that was it really. Ben called in a favour to get the music, the beat that we used for the sort of performance bit at the end. I wrote all of that. And that was it. And then I think we went to Nando's on one day.
Oh, I don't plug Nando's. Nando's, mate. They don't need a plug on this.
Why do you...
You're sponsored by Nando's.
Every time there's a potential sponsor, you shoot it down. You've really bad... Like, you've got to...
No, Vimeo. No Nando's.
Vimeo is the great sponsor for this.
Now, here's a question. Short film industry. I asked you in the previous recording of this podcast, which was a dud... whether you ever watch anyone else's short films.
Yeah.
And we came to the conclusion, but no one ever really watches anyone's short films. Do you think that YouTube has pretty much killed this short film industry?
No, I don't think it has. Because I think people that make short films watch other people's short films. People that make quality content and put it on Vimeo watch other quality content on Vimeo. Just because you or I don't necessarily spend that time on Vimeo, we spend it on YouTube watching vloggers and like stuff like that. But I think if you're in the industry, and then especially if you go to screenings, you see stuff.
Basically, I mean, the only people who watch short films are other people who've made short films who are probably only watching your short film, so you watch their short film.
Increasingly, I'm finding that is how the world works, though. Like, whatever sort of little, small niche field you're in, it's just the people. The only people that are interested in it are the people that are involved in it. The hardest part is breaking out of that, isn't it?
That's it. I mean, I think that's a life question, really, we've stumbled upon there, or life, one of the sort of answers, really. No one's interested anyway, apart from themselves.
Well, that's it, isn't it? And especially, I think, working in the creative arts, you put your sort of, like, blood, sweat and tears into everything. So you are kind of super proud and you want people to see it. But then everyone's like, why would I watch that?
And no when one cares. They probably hate you as well.
Yeah.
For making them watch it.
What is this podcast?
I don't know, Simon. So when did you've got the film? You've got the film made.
Got it made eventually. Yep.
And then what was the next stage of? I'm interested in the short film festival thing. And it's what your did you have an idea of? All right, here's what we're going to do with this film once it's made.
No. I had absolutely no idea. It took ages to get it edited because, again, it was favours. So when it was eventually done, I think, you know, Ben was just kind of like, you can just do whatever you want with it, really. So
the film festival is, or industry or sort of whatever it is, worlds, are quite a tricky minefield, isn't it? Because you can only submit to, you've got to pay to submit to a lot of them, which is a real pain in the arse.
Yeah.
And some of them demand premier status.
Well, right. That's something I did not know either.
You didn't know about the premier status?
Prior to entering it into a lot of festivals.
Can you explain it for someone, people who might not know?
Well, I mean, I don't claim to be an expert, but as far as I'm aware, it just means that if certain festivals will only screen your film if it's not already available publicly. So they want to premiere it, as you say. So it already being available on a public link on Vimeo and some idiot's YouTube probably means it's not going to get into any festivals. Which I have sort of only really worked out latterly, having paid out several hundred pounds to enter it into numerous festivals.
Did you?
Yeah.
How much did you spend on festival entrance then?
Yeah, maybe like a couple hundred pounds.
Shit, man.
Yeah.
Have you got into any yet?
No. But I've only really... Actually, there was one like Little London one that showed it. and then two that have not accepted it, and then I'm still waiting on the rest of them, which was maybe another.
By not accepted, you mean rejected?
Well, I suppose, yeah, but I think the nice way to say it is that it just wasn't picked to be featured. They weren't just like, this is dog shit! I mean, they did write that, which I felt like was too
they
much.
Write, this is dog shit?
Well, they, yeah.
In dog shit?
No, it was just a box that arrived at my door, and it just said, this is from the whatever film festival.
Oh, and it was dog shit in the box?
Yeah. So I joined the dots. Maybe I read too much into it.
Did they have a note on it saying, this is what we're... your film, what you think of your film, this is what your film was actually like.
If by,
you may think you've produced a film, but this is what you've actually made.
Well, they printed out a picture of my face and that was tucked underneath the shit. And that had then been pissed on.
At least you know that money you spent on entering that festival has been spent a lot of it.
On
you're
postage.
Getting, yeah, you're getting something back. You're getting a box, you're getting a photo of yourself, you're getting some shit.
It's true, yeah. That photo is up next to my bed. So when Gunther next makes his porn, it's already got the shit on it.
Oh, it's one of those films, is it?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And the thing is, you are renting a room on Airbnb as well, aren't you?
True story, yeah. True story. So yeah,
so someone could actually listen to this podcast.
Yeah,
find out you're renting a room.
Oh god,
get in touch, hire your room, when you go on holiday, and make a porn.
Yeah,
porno in your room. So this you've created your own world.
It'd be an elaborate ruse, but I'd have to hand it to them. Ultimately,
and that porno goes to win lots of short film festivals.
Is this?
They become a famous film director, and all off the back of and your.
And then I'm eventually watching it on Pornhub and just go, oh, that guy's got the same clock as me. Oh, no, my shit face picture. Anyway, you're listening to Marek Makes a Porno.
No, it's not going to be that. It's time for a little break. Just have a relax. Let's get back to it.
So, yes, to get back to the film festival thing, evidently you should not have it on a public link before you submit it to film festivals. I think I learned that one the hard way. So my tiny hopes of it getting into things have maybe slightly been dashed in the meantime. I do think they say on the application, though, if that's a prerequisite. So you never know. But also, you know, there's a lot of really high quality short films. And while I think it is great, it's not like movie quality, you know? So we'll see.
You've got to come on this podcast, mate. That's a big success for you.
This is a movie quality podcast.
So you think you've got something quite big out of it?
Yeah. Probably hopefully people will be subscribing to my brand new newsletter after this.
You've done a newsletter as well?
Yeah. I'll wait till the end till I do the pointless plugs.
All right. So let's... you've done the short film, man. You've done it to the film festival thing. So what would you say if someone's listening to this thinking, oh, I want to make a short film. Mm-hmm. I wish they'd stop talking about Simon's Spare Room and stuff like that.
They will be thinking that as well.
And give me some advice.
For Christ's sake.
On making a short film, you idiot.
Yeah.
We're idiots.
Well, here's something that... I learnt, I suppose, is that, and this is obvious, but when everybody's working for favours, there's no, like, you can't impose deadlines.
Yeah.
So, a really nice guy and great editor edited it, but, you know, it took probably 4 months.
Doesn't sound that nice to me, mate. Sounds like a piss taker.
And so obviously, the difference between that and like another friend of mine made a short recently, which was really great. He just paid everyone and then got it done in a couple of weeks.
That's the plan for Matt Makes a Movie, is that I'm going to try and pay all the actors.
Yeah.
It's going to have to be minimum wage.
Well, but that's the difficulty.
At least it's...
But then I feel like they will then at least feel some allegiance. What's the word? Just like they're a bit more committed.
Trying to pay someone to say, look, actually, it's work.
Yeah.
And then it's not just... Because there's nothing... I've done stuff before. It's all favours. And I did a short, a really terrible short where I took people away to this location and paid for everything. And everyone was treating it like a holiday. And I thought, well, I've paid for the location, I've paid for all the food, and no one really wants to do any work, just want to sit around. And I felt really pissed off.
Right.
Yeah. If I'd have said, you know, something like 50 quid a day, and like a rubbish amount, then everyone would have gone, right, you know, it's not good, and we really hate you.
Yeah.
But we might do some more work.
Right. Yeah, I think that's it, isn't it? It's money isn't the answer to everything, but like I've been trying to shoot another thing for the last few months, just with people for favours, and it's like just logistically so hard.
Mm.
Not least just to go, when are you available? I can do this day or this day. Okay, great. When's the director guy? He can do this day. Okay, now we're into next month. And then I think suddenly,
as soon as you say you're not going to pay someone, or it takes someone to say, I've got some paid work,
mm-hmm.
and you cannot say to that person,
it's impossible. Yeah. Yeah.
And then that once one link in the chain's gone, then suddenly that whole day's for trying to get everyone else at the same time.
It's a bloody house of cards, and it comes tumbling down. And
it's
especially
a house
in this
shit, mate.
That's what my Airbnb is listed as.
House of shit.
Yeah. So
we get some specialist people in there, then.
Especially when you're working with, you know, people who work in the arts and the media and whatever, and are all freelance. You are just kind of like, well, let's pencil this day. But if work comes in, and then literally if the day before, like, they get work in, they're just like, I'm so sorry, but I'm going to have to take the work. And you're like, okay, I mean, that is fine, but we have arranged everything in the location and everything. And then, you know. So I don't think it's a great takeaway that you should just pay everyone, because that obviously is just not feasible most of the time. And that's, you know.
Just some sort of gesture, I think.
Yeah.
So get donating to this podcast.
Please, yeah. And then I can hire that Karcher pressure washer to sort out
my
walls, yeah.
What are you gonna call it after you've cleaned all the shit off it then? House, just house?
Piss Palace, maybe? Could be all sort of... You can just piss on the walls and that's fine. I've put guttering in.
Pretty niche, Simon, but I mean, it's a good way of... I don't know if the sort of listeners... to this podcast of people who are into...
Maybe they are. I should have a donate button on this podcast. I've never accepted
donations.
I don't
know donations. What the Venn diagram is of people listening to Matt Makes a Movie at stroke people who like going around someone's house and pissing all over the walls.
I reckon it is a 100% overlap.
Well, you should have about 16 people.
Yeah, from your total listenership.
What is great about this is that I've tried to make it geeky enough that anyone who's listening to comedy is put off,
right.
And then offensive enough and childish enough
that anyone
who's interested in film would stop listening to as well. So alienate all...
It's no things to all people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, someone said they listened to the other day. I said, I'll just the start of it. That's always a bad sign.
That was enough. Got the idea. Not for me. Thank you.
So anything else you want to say about short films then?
No, not really, no. I mean...
Would you make another one, or would you think... would you ever try and make a feature film?
I don't know. I think, yes, I suppose, yeah. What you have to remember as well is I didn't direct this. I wrote it and acted in it, and I very much handed the reins over to a much more experienced professional.
Did you enjoy that? Was it strange after having the sort of autonomy of YouTube to give someone else that role?
Yeah, there was a little bit of it that was interesting, I suppose, because when you are used to going, okay, we need to get this, what's this shot? You know, it's quite interesting to just sort of be on that side of the camera and just be directed. And obviously my curiosity is always sort of going, oh, what's the lens on that? Where's, can I see the shot? Where is it? But I think to an extent that probably helps, because I think if you know what the shot is, that helps your performance, blah, blah, blah. But also it was just interesting to watch a sort of professional director work with a good DOP cameraman and just kind of get everything and not get really flustered and stressed. And I think it turned out all right, considering.
It's strange working with professionals, how fast they've got to be and how quick they are.
Yeah. It just makes you realise, just experience, you know, you just know what you need. Whereas we're just still sort of going, oh, okay, I'll just shoot it 400 times and I'll get there. You know?
Yeah.
And I think if you're thinking about the edit when you're shooting it, then that helps a million. That helps a million is the phrase.
It helps a million.
So, yes, I definitely will do want to make more things. Would I ever make a feature? If I wrote one and I thought it was good and someone wanted to make it, 100%, yeah. Just think it's really hard to write a feature film. Mm. I don't know if I've got that in me right now.
Mm.
Just like to get a few more shorts and things under my belt and see how we go.
Oh, it's a very good idea, Simon.
Thanks. Thanks very much.
Well, that is all very interesting. I've listened to it and I feel like I've eaten a full meal, but it's been made out of knowledge.
Wow. That is filling. Yeah. But you don't feel sick. It's just good quality eating.
Yeah. If people want to find out about you, I want to go around your pissy house.
Don't come around to my house.
Please. Okay, what about if they want to find out about you via the internet?
Yeah, great idea. That's the best place to find me because I am on it all day. I'm on all the social media, Simon Fielder. Feilder.
Do you think that's why you don't get as many followers? There's probably a Simon Fielder who's spelled F-I-E-L-D-E-R.
There is one. He's a theatre producer.
And he gets a lot of people who go and see you. Yeah. They see your... You've heard you on this thing.
Yeah.
And they presume that he is... Do you wish you could change it to... IE instead of EI.
But then we'd both have the same name, and I don't know if that would be better or worse.
Yeah. We'd have to get like, sick of saying
which one?
EI.
Very boring. Very boring correcting people who I've known for 10 years.
Yeah, parents have relied on me being called Marek. I've got to tell the same story about how I'm not Polish.
Yeah.
I'm named after some dead kid in a documentary. I'm sick of telling people, and then people think I look Polish.
Yeah.
And then people still think I'm Polish after me telling them the story. I'm not Polish.
All right, don't be quite so vehement about it because it comes across a little bit EDL.
What, saying I'm not Polish?
No, it's just when you sort of shout it like in an aggressive way.
I've got nothing against Polish
why
people.
Why are you waving that? You don't need to wave the flag when you say it because people will take that the wrong way.
Ah, right.
Anyway, so...
sabotage. A guest comes on, tries to sabotage the podcast. I'm trying to plug his bits.
Thank you.
I'm not going to bother.
I'll tell you what I have done. It was a lovely sunny weekend and I went home to visit my parents and I spent most of the weekend creating a newsletter, mailer, fanzine-y sort of thing about things that I like, which does include films.
Am I in it?
No.
But is Volksball in it, the sport that you play that I made up, is that in it?
Not yet, but it's only the first episode, so there's plenty of scope for that to feature. You can sign up for it on the front page of my website, which is simonfielder.com. I'm not going to spam you. I mean, if anything, I'll probably just lose interest in it in a couple of months. But in the meantime, do sign up because I think it's quite a nice thing, isn't it? It's a good writing exercise. And it's also nice to find people who like the same stuff that you like and you can be enthusiastic about it together.
You doing this to try and bone someone?
No.
Okay.
Wait.
What?
What? Turn this off now. Turn it off now.
Right. Interview ended.
I'm taking my top off.
Well, that's it. Thanks for listening. Well done. You made it all the way through. You're in a very exclusive club. Please, if you want to email, contact me on marekmakesamovie@gmail.com. You can also follow on Twitter, marekmovie. On Instagram, marekmakesamovie. I can't even remember the variations, but let's just say I messed them up. And if you want to donate, go to the website, marekdara.com. Marek makes a movie and all the money will go towards the making of the film. Thank you very much for listening. Stay hygienic. Bye.
Marek makes
a
movie.
Marek makes a movie.